Bye, Kristen.
Bye.
Sodas and waters by that refrigerator. Can we put those 10 cases there? I'm sorry.
Hi.
Are you here to see David?
Is he available for tomorrow? By chance? If not, that's totally fine.
Is
he's
not
available.
I can go chat. Go to your room
and chat, okay?
Judy Reynolds and
Megan Sullivan.
Okay. So I'm Paula Williams, by the way. Hi. Nice to meet you. Okay. I'll let him know that you're here.
Okay.
Delighted.
How are you?
Good, are you?
Good. We know you're not expecting us. We just wanted to let you know that we're here to meet with Grace.
Okay.
And we just wanted to keep you informed
okay.
of that so
yeah.
it wasn't a surprise to you.
That's cool. That's yeah. cool. Very nice.
Yeah. Is there a place, do you know, where we can sit with them?
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. That's okay. You're fine. You're fine.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Well, you're fine.
So I know you've already met with Dr. Cook and
mm-hmm.
with Mr. Haggerty, of course, and a few of the other administrators, but it is not the same for us to talk to them as it is to talk straight to you.
Okay.
And so we've certainly read your materials, and I guess if you would just take a few minutes to talk us through how your idea came about, how you put it into action, what you see coming out of it, and then we can talk after that about what you hope to accomplish.
Okay. Do I have to answer them in order? No.
Just no? It's fine. You don't have to.
I started it last Friday.
with the petition website, which I knew about previously because I had supported a previous petition on that page, so like I knew it existed. And the petition that I signed on that page was for Miss Lechuga. I didn't really think it was gonna make that big of a difference, but like I did have her, so I wanted to support that if it could do anything.
She was your teacher before, is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I had her at Sierra in eighth grade. I feel like I've been hearing parents kind of, or not parents, teachers kind of complain and express like how they feel about like the evaluation system and how it makes them do a lot of extra work that they're not compensated for, and just like things like that, and being like kind of mad about it. So I've been hearing that from like a lot of teachers over the years, so I just thought I'd do it because I had the resources to.
What do you mean you had the resources?
I'm a really good writer, and I'm really, I don't know, but I feel like I'm pretty good with speaking with adults, and so I thought it'd be good to help them out because I think our teachers are really important.
How do you think this is going to help your teachers?
I think it's going to help our teachers. Well, the petition, or our protest part, is mostly to reach out to the students because I think that's an like effective way to get on their level and draw attention to the students, because the students right now can make like a huge change because they don't have to worry about speaking their mind and being prosecuted for it.
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like a lot of teachers are nervous to talk about it because they think their job is at risk.
Why do you think that?
Just because teachers have said that.
They've said that to you, that they believe?
Yeah, I've heard it around the school.
That they'll be prosecuted?
Well, prosecuted is kind of a harsh word, but I think they think it will affect their job. Like, they could lose their job if they speak up about their opinions. So I'm just hoping it will be a window for teachers to kind of communicate with everyone, including students, their kind of views and what they hope to change about our schools.
So who do you hope is going to participate in this?
Anyone who wants to. I mean, it is our First Amendment right, so anyone can really go who wants to express their opinion. Students are like the main goal, I guess, since it is on school property, so students will be available to that.
Even though you're doing this during the school day,
mm-hmm.
when you guys are supposed to be in class,
mm-hmm.
and you don't believe that students should be spending their time in class, especially this time of year?
What time of year?
Well, this time of year, I mean, my high school student has 5 AP tests coming up in a couple of months, the ACT, a whole bunch of other things, college applications that she's working on, and they're spending time in school learning some of those processes. I believe she belongs in school. I don't believe that you belong out on Parker Road, or even on Bayou Gulch, or even in the parking lot.
We're not protesting in the parking lot or the streets.
Where are you holding this protest?
On the soccer field closest to the football field, in between the
Okay, well, that's not an appropriate place to be when you're supposed to be in class.
Okay, I understand that.
So why would you choose to do something like this during school hours?
To draw attention to it. That's what Jefferson County students did, and it worked for them.
So I have a couple of questions. Did you receive legal advice on what your First Amendment rights are?
Mm-hmm.
Was that from... Do you have a parent who is a lawyer, or do you know somebody who's a lawyer?
Well, I did a lot of research on it, and they were all credible, I don't know how to say that word, but yeah. But my parents know a lot about, I don't want to talk about their jobs, but...
No, you don't have to talk about your parents' jobs. I mean, I guess when I would say, did you receive legal advice, I knew from a licensed attorney in Colorado.
No.
Because I think that is, there's a lot of misperceptions around what students' First Amendment rights are. And I'm not suggesting that I'm going to come, you know, try to do anything in that regard. I'm just saying that what you believe to be your First Amendment rights may not be correct. You have not articulated what you believe your First Amendment rights to be, either in your press releases or today with us.
It's on our petition page. There's a link.
I've seen that. You've linked to the ACLU. That is not a student protest document. It is an adult protest document. So there are certain rights that students and people under the guardianship of others have and don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to be sure that... I want to clarify as part of this meeting that if there are certain consequences for students and teachers that walk out of school to participate in this, that is within the bounds of your First Amendment rights. So if you... I've seen people under the misperception that they cannot get in trouble if they walk out and their teacher walks out with them. That is not correct. That there will be no consequences for them because they have the right to free expression. That is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest to you that if you are advocating to other people about this protest, and if you are telling people that they have a First Amendment right to protest, at a 10,000-foot level, that is true. But when you get down to the granular level, I would not suggest that you go telling people what their rights are and are not. That is for them to understand with legal advice of their own. So I'll just caution you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they might point back at you and say, well, Grace told me X, Y, and Z. And then it'll basically become your fault that if they get in trouble for whatever they're doing because they believed their First Amendment rights to be something that they want. So I just want you to understand that I'm not asking for a response. I'm just saying that that needs to be out there, and you need to understand that.
I'm not expecting teachers to walk out.
And why would you not expect them to walk out?
Because it is a normal school day, and they should be working.
What will you do if other adults show up?
I can't really control adults.
Well, of course not. But what will you do?
If they're protesting and showed up?
People with agendas like protests, so they will come and they will do whatever they're going to do. And any number of things could happen. Here's a couple of examples. They could show up and presumably if there's media, they will go try to talk to the media and try to define for you what the protest is. And they will run away with the media coverage and you'll be left without a voice. They could come and be disruptive to the school environment. People who ordinarily would not be permitted on the school campus could come, and people you don't want anywhere near your peers and yourself could come. And then that's one of my concerns is the safety aspect.
Mm-hmm.
His protests, especially in open air like that, they will draw people who have no business being near students,
mm-hmm.
no business whatsoever. And so I want to know what your thoughts are about that and how you plan to control for that.
Well, I spoke, I think it was yesterday, with some other district leaders about this. They suggested that I change the time just because parents are probably going to be at work earlier in the morning, and they think if it's at 9:15, less adults will show up. So I did understand that kind of safety precaution and traffic and everything, and people who aren't participating could get to school faster and everything. So I did change time to 9:15. I understand that parents and adults aren't allowed on campus, and that's been articulated to me a couple times. So it is on our petition page, and I've publicized that. They don't want me to set rules, because people naturally want to defy rules, especially in like a protest setting. So I made it clear, but I didn't make it, you have to do this, just because it can bring out the rebellious side in people. But I mean, since the rights do apply to adults, if the adults come and are on sidewalks and streets protesting, they're allowed to be. And well, not in the streets though. The police would probably get them off the streets, but...
Well, and speaking of Jefferson County or even Denver schools, walked out because they saw Jefferson County walking out. And you might remember what happened to that police officer. He was trying to assist with the safety aspects of that protest.
Denver or Jefferson County?
Denver.
Okay.
And he was struck by an angry motorist, and he was in the hospital for almost 2 months. So that is, if there are people on or near the streets, that is something that we cannot control for, and that is a risk. And that, and something like that, no one remembers Denver's protest. Everyone remembers the police officer that was struck and almost killed. So understand that failing to control for the safety of this kind of thing can basically undermine the entire point of your protest. So,
have you worked with anyone to control for that safety aspect? Have you worked with the school administration? Did you, when you talked with other people from the district, was there a discussion about the safety aspect? Have you contacted the sheriff's department? I mean, it doesn't sound to me like there's much of a plan to deal with any potential safety issues. Am I just not hearing that yet?
I was like in an hour meeting about safety the other day. It is like the police's job to show up and do like traffic and stuff, and we have an SRO here. I know that the district has already contacted the sheriff's office, and if we were to contact the sheriff's office, we'd want it to be before, because sheriff's departments are just, I mean, I know how they work, and they're fast paced, and if we tell them too early, it's not going to get as many people involved.
What do you mean?
Well, I was suggested by a cop to do it more, to contact them more like within, because protests aren't on their list of priorities.
So your police officer acquaintance suggested that you wait until the protest is ongoing?
No. At least till Sunday or the next week. Just because if you tell them too early, it will get mixed up in things, so. I didn't contact them because I know it was going to be on school grounds, and someone told me, either being Mr. Haggerty or one of the other district, the vice superintendent, I think, he said that the police had already been contacted.
So I'm still really unclear on what you hope to gain out of this. I mean, are you speaking? Are you guys just carrying? Are you carrying signs? Or are you? And what do you? I mean, what does this protest? What do you think it's going to gain for the teachers that you're concerned about?
So, by holding a protest this young in age and around kind of the school environment, it does give students an opportunity to practice their rights, which I think is important at this age because we're not exposed to that as much just because we're not over 18 and stuff. So I think that could be beneficial to a lot of students. I did encourage people to bring respectful posters, and I have examples up on our petition page, and we've posted on Facebook, our Facebook event page. Spirit War is appreciated just because we're coming together as a Pondo environment, like, just because, and people who aren't from Ponderosa can wear their own spirit wear, but it's really for our teachers, and we really want to support our teachers who work in the district, and I will be walking around and taking questions because I'm interviewing Superintendent Fagan the Thursday afterward, so I want to get like the questions that people are afraid to ask or don't have the, like, they don't think they have the ability to ask people higher up in the district, to like go to the root of the district and our superintendent and really ask those questions that people don't really ask because they don't think they can.
Are you willing to tell people that they can, in fact, ask those questions?
Mm-hmm. I just hear there's a lot of hoops that people have to go through. And since I...
And who do you hear that from?
Yeah.
Teachers say they have a lot of hoops to go through to talk and voice their opinions about the district. And by the time their opinion kind of gets heard, it's kind of ignored. And I don't think it's as valued as it should be, just because they are the ones interacting with students in the classroom. And I think the students' opinions on teachers are really important, because if the students don't respect our teachers and don't want to help them, it's going to affect how we treat them in the classroom.
And how does this help them? That's what I'm not understanding. How does this protest help them?
The teachers?
Yes.
It helps the teachers because I think they're scared. They're scared to talk up about it, or they...
How does this make them less scared?
Because it's drawing more public attention to it, and it can be reached quicker without going through the hoops right now, I feel like.
I guess I would submit to you that there are no hoops, because you saw what happened yesterday. At 6 o'clock, I called you, you answered, we set a meeting, and here it is less than 24 hours later, mm-hmm. We're talking about things that matter to you. So, anyone can do that with anybody in the district administration.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can do that with any of us on the Board of Ed. So it's not... I guess I'm unclear as to what hoops there are. And, you know, this may be a giant misperception on the part of some people,
mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we managed to get it done, you and I, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I invited Director Reynolds, and here we are. So I guess if someone tells you, oh, there's tons of hoops to jump through, nobody cares about my opinion,
mm-hmm.
That's clearly not the case, right? I mean, you have had a parade of district administrators and now us sitting in front of you, and the only reason Dr. Fang is not here is because she's out of town. So I know that you have arranged with her to interview her. I saw the correspondence that you and she had,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that you didn't want to work it out with her ahead of time. But with that being said, I guess I'll go back to Director Reynolds' question, which is, okay, you're going to raise awareness. You're going to be out there. You're going to be gathering anecdotal questions from people who may be either unwilling or unable to come to us themselves,
mm-hmm.
And talk about that. As a side note, you're probably going to have other Board of Ed members here who will be in, you know, I don't know exactly what other people's goals are. I only know what my goals are, and I've talked to Director Reynolds about her goals. What we want to do is actually understand what you believe. Is this just like a big awareness-raising thing, or is it what changes would you like for us to make? Because what I'm hearing is, you know, opinions aren't valued, people have to jump through hoops, people have a lot of work, people are not compensated. And those are all things that you're perhaps hearing from your teachers. And I hope that your conversations with administrators over the past couple of days have shown you that that is not, strictly speaking, the whole story. You know, there are state laws that we have to follow with regards to evaluations.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that perhaps don't have... They don't have very, very much motivation or desire to change the way they present themselves for evaluation. And if you are hearing any of this, anybody complaining in your classrooms about extra work or not being compensated, frankly, that's inappropriate. I mean, if you go out to coffee with one of your teachers after class, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone is in front of your classroom talking about their compensation and their you know, benefit structure or their evaluation structure, I don't understand what that has to do with your education. I know you care about your teachers. I mean, I still care about the teachers I had in high school 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, that is not relevant to my future as far as college, as far as learning, as far as career, technical readiness, none of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that should occur outside of the classroom.
They are.
And so I am getting emails from angry parents who say, whatever your experience is, their experience has been that teachers are standing in front of them, not only complaining about their compensation and their extra work, but that teachers are encouraging their students to participate in your protest. I don't know if that's what you intended, but that's what's happening.
That's what's happening.
Okay.
I mean, I live in this community, and I've had conversations with parents. In fact, I had one this morning with a parent who is very upset that this kind of stuff is being promoted by more than one teacher in this building.
And so that's
not what she sends her son to school for.
and that's true. And so I think that sometimes whatever your intent might be, what actually happens is not, that's not it. So,
well, and I guess for me, okay, if you want to raise awareness, certainly a protest is one way to do that. But again, being the parent of high schoolers, a protest is also an opportunity to perhaps just get out of class and hang out, especially if it's not my favorite class. It's not, you know, I guess to me something, I mean, if you really want to share with your fellow students how things work in the district, to me the way to do that would be through an assembly, through a meeting after school, through some other means where you're actually able to truly share information with people that want that information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a student, that if there's something you don't want to hear, you don't listen to it. You don't pay attention to it. You find a way to ignore it. I mean, again, I think all of us do that to some extent, but certainly teenagers are masters of doing that. And to do a protest invites a whole bunch of people that want nothing more than to get out of class. To hold a meeting or have an assembly, perhaps in, you know, even during the school day, allows people to gain information that may actually be useful or beneficial. It's not just a big party out there on the soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Do you understand where I'm coming from as a parent? Why I don't have an issue at all with you seeking to understand. That's great. But there are better ways and not so good ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I see happening, and I really do want to talk about what specifically you want to change, because frankly we're the ones that can do it,
mm-hmm.
and there are other board members who have expressed their intent to come to your protest who are not in a position to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there will be people that have heard about this that will show up, and they will come, and they will corner the media that are here. They will make it about what they think. It will not be about what you think. And the only, I don't know of a way to avoid that, to be honest,
mm-hmm.
because there are people in this community that love this kind of thing, and they have access to grind, and they'll grind them using you. And I hate that, because you don't deserve to be used. You deserve to have your own voice heard for what you
mm-hmm.
think. So I hope that when that happens, it's not a surprise to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess with that being said, what do you see that is a problem that you want to change? Because I've heard
mm-hmm.
your general comments about what people have told you about the evaluation system. And like I said, it's my understanding that Dr. Cook went through some of the particulars with you
mm-hmm.
so that you understand it a little better. What would you like to see change? What, you know, and forget about what people think about it. What about the evaluation do you want to change?
Okay. We are encouraging kids to stay in their classrooms and come out during their lunch and off periods.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you're planning on this starting at, you said 9:15 is what the time was
mm-hmm.
changed to?
Yeah.
It's
during the passing period.
So is it just for that one period?
I think
What's the plan for the length of time for it, I guess?
2:45 or 2:30 was when we have to get off the field just because there's lacrosse games and they do need the field. So I've talked to Mr. Harrington about that.
5 hours? Is that what you were...
I think it's going to die down before that. I don't want to have a scheduled time, but we do have to be off the field.
Well, and I have one other question because you said something about encouraging, obviously, the students here to wear their Pondo colors.
Mm-hmm.
But then you said something about others wearing their school colors. Are you expecting people to show up from other schools?
I know some people have been working in other schools because it is district-wide, and I do understand that only Ponderosa students are allowed on property, and I put that out
there.
What
do you mean it is district-wide?
It's not just about Ponderosa students or Ponderosa teachers. It's about, the whole district because they all follow the same evaluation system and such. And it's been heard from other teachers within our district, the same opinions that are being voiced here.
So so I'm confused. I'm sorry. Because you said specifically you wanted kids to wear their school colors, and then you just said that they're not going to be allowed on property. So where are those people going to go?
Well, they're not allowed on school property, and I don't expect all of the Pondo kids to be on school property either. I mean, there are, sidewalks, so, I guess we're allowed to be out there.
So you think that there will be people on your field, but you also think there will be people outside?
Yes.
How does that mitigate the safety issue?
How does it mitigate?
How does it mitigate the safety issue? If there's a safety issue of people being on the sidewalk and the compromise was to move them to the soccer field and to change the time, if people are on the sidewalk anyway, then the same unsafe environment exists.
Well, I wanted to do it on the soccer field anyways before I went in, but now I know that Ponderosa students and the media is not allowed in. Oh, and I've already talked and given the media my statements, so I don't think...
What media?
7 News, the Parker Chronicle posted something the other day, and 9 News.
Who from 9 News, do you remember?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry, you had a question.
No, that's all right. The way protest coverage usually works is not that you give them your statement ahead of time and that's it. They will show up and they'll try to find you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll want to come find you and they'll want to put a camera on you. And ultimately, one thing I've learned, having been part of media coverage myself, is that even if they can find you, they're going to find whatever they want their slant to be, and they'll make that the focus of the story. So if they can't find you, or if they're not allowed to talk to you, I don't know if you provided them with your cell phone number or anything like that. They may call.
Mm-hmm.
They may not. They may interview whatever adult is closest by. And again, like I said before, coverage might run away from you. I guess this is, it's concerning to me that if there is a barrier to possible protesters, whoever they might be, getting onto your soccer field, and they're going to be on the sidewalk anyway, then we're ripe for the Denver police officer situation to happen again right there. It doesn't matter if the bulk of the students who are going to be there are moved to the soccer field. The people who can't or won't go onto the soccer field. There may be people from your school, too, who just go out front and say, I don't want to go to the soccer field. That's where all the action is, and then, there'll be 5 people on the soccer field, and there'll be, 50 people on the sidewalk, and that is a problem.
Most police officers in Colorado have to attend preliminary, schools or go back to college for training, and they do learn how to train, they're trained to deal with situations like that, so...
What do you mean they're trained to deal with situations like that?
They learn about how to handle different situations in a positive manner. And I don't not trust our police, but if they, like, I think it, I, like, I do, like, have faith that they'll do their jobs.
Well, this is, I mean, I don't, I'm not sure if you understand exactly what I'm talking about. The police officer, it's not about them not doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
It's about someone from, either someone who accidentally or with malice targets one of the police officers. If a car is bearing down on you at 50 miles an hour,
or a student,
or a student,
or a community member.
If someone brings a gun, if someone brings some other kind of weapon, it doesn't matter how well you're trained. I mean, my sister's studying to be a police officer,
mm-hmm.
so I'm familiar with some of what that entails. It's not about them corralling the people or them making sure that the people are where they need to be. I'm not worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the unsafe situation, people we have no idea who they are being on the school campus, and the possible risks of angry or distracted or, you know, just otherwise indisposed citizens wreaking havoc.
Mm-hmm.
So if moving to the soccer field really does nothing, if there's still an unsafe situation in front of the school, to me that's an issue.
Well, and I want to go back to this whole rights thing.
All right.
Because you could argue that you do have rights to do certain things, although as a minor, there are limitations on some of those rights. However, with rights come responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And among those responsibilities, you keep talking about the police or our sheriff's department, who would take care of this because of the part of the county that we live in. That takes those officers away from their other duties. The district will incur a charge for that, so I should assume that you're willing to carry that financial responsibility. Our taxpayers expect our students to be in school because our taxpayers are the ones who pay for you to be in school. They pay for the sheriff's department. Do you understand that the rights come with responsibilities? And if things go sideways for some reason, or even on the issues of perhaps how all of this gets paid for, that may land squarely on your or your parents' shoulders since you are a minor.
Okay, well, we don't have to be on property. If you don't want us on property, we can all be on the sidewalks.
But that still falls on your shoulders.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's on school property or not.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, the purpose of moving it onto school property was to bolster the safety of the students. If there are people on the sidewalk anyway, it doesn't really matter who's on the soccer field and who's not. It matters who was on the sidewalk when the incident happened. And even if there is no incident, if there are people on the sidewalk because of a protest that you have organized, then police officers will come, and then that whole scenario will happen anyway. So it's not about, you know, us caring whether you guys are on the soccer field or not. The purpose of the soccer field is to keep all the students safe. But there are other people in front of the school. So it doesn't matter where you move them to, that those costs will still be incurred.
I'm not responsible for what other people do. I'm responsible
for
myself.
You are if you instigated the action and the reason that they are there.
This is why I'm telling you to seek legal advice.
Okay.
I mean, I want you to be 100% informed of all the contingencies. You know, we're not here to talk you out of anything. We're here to make sure that not only do we understand what, and we somehow got off the rails of what you were going to say about the evaluations, but that we understand where you're coming from with specifics. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, I thought that was missing from your press release, the specifics. But also that we're assured that you understand those specifics of the ramifications of your event. So we can go back to that. But let's go back to what you were talking about with the evaluation
okay.
stuff.
So, I've heard about, I've been doing, like, education on some other, teacher evaluation things, and a lot of them have student evaluations, like, coinciding with it, and that's, like, part of it. And I think that'd be really cool if we could add that to the rubric, just because the students are the ones in room with the teachers all the time, and having a couple people go in a few times a year could, like, you don't know if students are just randomly misbehaving that day or if the teacher's having a bad day. Like, I think since, like, that could still be a thing, like, people could still see them, but you could not know the context of the situation. And having an extra student evaluation, I guess, would help kind of bring in the opinions of what is going on every day.
There is a pilot ongoing for that. There is a study being done about how to integrate that,
mm-hmm.
as well as parent evaluation. Once you get to college, you have the opportunity to rate every single one of your professors every semester,
mm-hmm.
for every class. So, and those are made public, by the way, which this would not be because of the state laws.
Mm-hmm.
But those are made public for you to look and see which professor you're interested in studying. What else?
Sorry, messed up here. So I know the Charlotte Danielson made a model for that kind of teacher evaluation. I think it's called the Danielson model. So that's where I kind of got that. I think with SITE or whatever, that's an acronym, right? SITE? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It could, either our district isn't applying it as efficiently as it should be, or it's being slacked on, because I think some teachers who don't live up to kind of all of the most important type of categories are slipping through just because they have higher effectiveness in different areas. Like, I think how they interact with students and affects the way how successful they are as teachers, just because if you don't get on the level with the students, it can affect how much they want to learn. And if you just have a teacher speaking monotone the whole time, but he's doing everything else and, like, on paper is, like, highly efficient because he's doing everything else but not actually, like, connecting with the students in a way they really, really want to be engaged and being excited about the subject. I think some teachers are slipping through that because we're not having student evaluation, or we're having too few in-room, like, people going inside the classroom to evaluate them. Because
right.
I know some of my teachers are really good at interacting with students, and others are just monotone the whole time, and I don't understand why they're teaching. So I think some of them are slipping through.
Why do you think that? Are they sharing their readings with you?
Huh?
Are they sharing their readings with you?
No, but I did research on SITE, so I know a little bit how it works.
Well, yes, but then so how do you know who is receiving what ratings? Or
mm-mm.
So but you're
I know,
just, you're saying that the presence 12%? I'm sorry?
12% of our teachers are, like, rated highly effective or something in schools, and then they
that's
get
a little more than that.
Oh, okay, well, that's what I know. So.
Well, but you do realize that before Senate Bill 191 happened and all of this, that the teachers were still evaluated, and after a teacher hit, it's either the 3 or the 5 year point, that they essentially had someone in their classroom absorbing them every 3 to 5 years. Now there's someone in their classroom multiple times a year,
mm-hmm.
doing an observation, watching how they teach and interact with their students.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually significantly better than what it used to be, not worse.
This system is not unique to our district. Every district
mm-hmm.
in Colorado has a form of this evaluation.
I was told that site was created by...
It is, but it has to meet the guidelines of the state evaluation. Mm-hmm. And there are, it's either seven or nine districts that created their own system, mm-hmm. but it still has to comply with the state system. Yeah. So everything that is in site had to be approved by the state. The mm-hmm. state actually had to go and approve it, and if we make significant changes to it, the state has to approve
mm-hmm.
it.
I think that...
I'm sorry.
Dang it. Maybe I wrote down. And I think people, like teachers, get really stressed when they only have so many. Oh, I remember what I was going to say.
Okay, good.
I believe that our principals do the in-room, and they show our teachers. I think Mr. Hagerty and Ms. Garcia told me about that, how the like people who work in the school do it, mm-hmm. and I think that could come with bias.
Do you know there's an appeal process?
No. Well, I've heard of it. I don't know how it works.
There is an appeal process. If you, let's say you're a teacher, you believe that your evaluation was not fair or that it didn't contain certain pieces mm-hmm. you believe to be essential, you can appeal up a chain in the district to say, you know, I believe that my evaluator left this out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have an independent body that is not... Mr. Hagerty or Ms. Garcia, let's say nothing to do with that. Not mm-hmm. their boss, not their subordinate, someone else comes in and looks at your work. That's part of the appeal process.
And so you think that should always be somebody who's not in the building who does that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because I feel like the people who are, or even not if it's a bad, like not if they got a bad rating, but even if they got a really good one, like you don't want to change a really good grade if... even if you don't think you deserved it, you know? So I think being in the same building and creating, like coworker relationships and being friends and stuff can affect that. And I think it would be better if people came in that don't know them personally, just because when you get to know someone personally, you want to keep them around you and you don't want to hurt them. You know? So mm-hmm. if you gave them a bad grade, it's like awkward when you see them the next time. It's like, well, I mean, I don't know how you feel about me, you know? So I think that having someone else come in is better, and then adding on with student evaluation would even it out, just because the students see them every day, but then this other person is professional and comes with no bias.
Well, I agree with you as far as student evaluations. Mm-hmm. As far as, do you have a job outside school?
Not one I'm paid for.
I'm familiar with that. when you get a job, if you've had one in the past or if you have one in the mm-hmm. future, the person who evaluates your work is your boss, mm-hmm. is your supervisor. So that's the case here. The principals here are the supervisors of the teachers over here, and that's the reason why they evaluate them. It's just like any other place of work. You say, I'm here, I'm your supervisor, both literally and figuratively, on paper, in the district system, they are the supervisors. So it is part of their expectations as supervision
mm-hmm.
that they evaluate teachers. So that entire structure would have to change. And I think a lot of people would say, wait a minute, you want someone who isn't here in school with me, isn't part of my peer group, has nothing to do with me, is going to come in and evaluate my work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and in fact, in some instances where that's happened, that's exactly the complaint, is someone's looking at this and they don't know me, they don't know my work per se, you know, So I don't know. I mean, is this something that you've found just that something that's been recommended in the research that you've looked at? Is this something that's come about in part because of conversations that you've had with teachers that you know? You know, how did you kind of come to that would be one of the things that might be a good change? And you know, I honestly don't know. I see advantages and disadvantages mm-hmm. to doing it both ways. But how did you kind of come to that?
All of the above. I think if you have someone coming in from another school, it balances it out if you have students do it as well. Like, I think those go together
mm-hmm.
just because the students, like you'd say, they're familiar with how teachers work every day. So I think it'd be, I do agree, if it was just people coming in from wherever, not from the school,
mm-hmm.
it could be like frustrating. But then again, you're also getting students' opinions who always see your work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're also getting that type of thing.
I just out of curiosity, have you talked to any teachers or many teachers about the possibility of student evaluation making up a substantial portion of the teacher evaluation?
Not really. I mean, I've talked to people who have moved from other schools. Like my friend used to go to school in Utah, and the students were really involved in evaluation, and they did it a couple times a year and put in their results, and I thought that was really cool. Like, I thought, yeah, like, why don't the students do it? Because we see them every day. And I'm not saying that would be all of their evaluation, but I do think it should be added or substituted for something else.
I think it should be added as well.
Yeah.
One thing that I've heard from
security,
this is not a representative sample, but when I've heard it, the majority of teachers who hear about it say that students are not qualified to evaluate them,
Shelly left class
about
15 minutes ago to use the restroom and have to return.
Maybe,
if you see him, can
you
see him to go back to class?
People's complaints about FAIR typically
class?
Are not without their own bias.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from what I'm hearing for your concerns about site.
It goes off again, I'm trying to.
Okay.
I'm not sure which button it is.
It's
different from ones I've used now.
The student evaluation, you are wondering why teachers who don't connect with students in a meaningful way are still in the classroom.
Yes.
And the people who are doing the evaluation of teacher work, you're concerned about bias.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm not concerned about bias now. I just think it is
possible.
A huge possibility.
The rubric is written in such a way that some of that stuff is subjective. So either you did it or you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Either you've done it this amount of time or you haven't. So it doesn't matter how much Judy and I are best buddies. It's like, sorry, you didn't show up to half the board meetings, it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I think we had this concern when we first rolled this instrument out. And please understand, I'm not saying that doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
or I'm not trying to minimize, I'm just saying that we had this conversation back in 2010,
mm-hmm.
Where we, you know, people would say, gosh, what if my principal hates me? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we tried to make it as objective as possible to say, like, yeah, either you did or you didn't. If you have a concern, here's the appeal process. And then when the state looked it over, they said, okay, your instrument is good. So, okay, now that we... Is there anything further as far as...
I think it's difficult for our teachers to... get the proper equipment to teach us in like a way they want to, because I know a lot of my teachers have put up their own whiteboards. They couldn't get whiteboards, so they would paint it themselves, you know, and they have to do a lot of things around their classroom and supply their classroom with the tools they need to teach. And I think that with all of like the planning that goes along with site and stuff, the amount of time that you're using for that, like planning for class and everything, and then also having to put up a whiteboard in your free time, like over the weekend, I think it's really inconvenient, and it should be supplied for the teachers. Like, you know, they're already doing their job, but now they have to do something else that shouldn't really fall on their shoulders.
You mean the actual putting up of things, or the acquisition of things?
What's acquisition? Like asking
they,
for?
No, well, sort of. When they get, so like if I go out and, what I mean by that is, do you mean it should be bought for them and set up for them, or?
Yeah, I don't think they should have to come in like during the weekend to set up the tools they need to teach. Like I would say every classroom in at least this school probably needs a whiteboard. So, just like necessary things that people or teachers are having to do during their free time, and they're going above and beyond and not really getting recognized for it if they do it.
What do you mean by not getting recognized?
I think if you're doing something that doesn't really, isn't entailed in your job, I mean, that's going above and beyond. And, I mean, if people aren't seeing that, but it, like, is your job, so maybe that should contribute to evaluation. I mean, if it's going to be entailed in their job, then they should be evaluating them. But I doubt it is.
There's a whole professionalism segment effectiveness. A lot of that stuff does get rolled into that. Principals will say, hey, you got a great classroom, kids love being in here, you've given them direction over how they want to sit in it, or how they want to congregate, or how they want to, learn whatever they're learning, and so that will earn them marks in their evaluation. Okay, so this is, were there other things? Or is that kind of the main things?
Those were the main things. I understand that you probably talked about it, and like those are all the things that fall into evaluation. But maybe since there are people unhappy with it, maybe it just isn't working.
Well, as long as if people understand that we have to have a teacher evaluation, it has to be under the strictures of state law, we can't dump the evaluation system.
No, I just mean maybe we should switch to a different one, or edit the one we have now, or somehow, or something
like
that.
Well, I mean, editing the one we have now is certainly within the realm of possibility, and that is done every year, just so you know. Over the summer, teachers are gathered and compensated to make those changes. So I'm sure the administration has lists of things that change every year that they can provide you if you want to see it. What kinds of concerns do you anticipate picking up when you make your rounds at the soccer field next week?
I've already gotten some questions kind of on the comment section of our petition page, so I'll probably take some off there if they're respectful. I'm trying to delete all the ones that aren't, and it's really difficult just because I can't go through all of them all the time. I'm really busy. But just like basic things, probably I'll go over that students don't really know. Like a lot of them aren't familiar with how our county, like our schools work. And I think that's important for us to know just because we are like constantly involved with it. Like we spend 8 hours a day like in this environment. And I know sometimes in government they do projects on how it works, but I think it should be like everyone should know how it works just so we can be involved, and if people do have questions, they can like contact the people they need to, and they know how. I think that's a big reason why people are using this as like a way to talk and ask questions about it. But probably mostly questions about people might ask like specific things like. Things about what control she has over certain
parts.
Yeah, Mrs. Fagan, or Dr. Fagan. certain parts of our school district that she has control over, or like how she can have power over certain things. I also want to talk about the assembly thing. I did originally think that would be a good idea, but knowing how many people don't attend assemblies just because, as a student, like, hearing from other students, like, they don't show up to assemblies just because they, I don't think they're as effective the older we get. Like, the older we get, we have more understanding about how schedules work and people, like, want to leave. So I know a lot of people just don't go to assemblies. And I think by having something that teenagers can relate with, I guess, like a protest or something like that, it kind of gets on their level in more of a way, where it's not like an assembly where, like, you're required to sit down here, you have to do certain
things.
They
serve two different purposes. A protest is about you voicing your opinion,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what my opinion may or may not be. An assembly is an opportunity to listen and learn something. So they serve two different purposes in my mind. I mean, how are you going to speak to everybody at this? I guess obviously you don't know.
Yeah, how you educate them. If an assembly is something you believe, and I'm not sure what you mean by effectiveness, so maybe we can talk about that.
Right.
But if, I guess if we... I'm not saying that I'm asking
mm-hmm.
you to do this or anything, but let's say that we make ourselves and Dr. Fagan and administrators who can answer questions about site
mm-hmm.
available to students. You think no one would show up? Like, no one? You think no one who might want to learn about this? You think they'll come to a protest to learn about it instead? I guess I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, I do. I think that, like, from a student perspective, it's more appealing.
How will they learn about things, though?
Most of them have already, like, referred to our petition pages and stuff, and I'm planning on, if they don't understand it, they won't go. That's, like, most of it. But I think most of the students, at least here, know, the gist. So, if they believe in it, we, obviously, they've shown up, and
I guess let me back up a little bit. Maybe we're talking about education on two different things.
Okay.
If we want to help students who don't understand and have questions about site or about anything else
mm-hmm.
relating to teachers and how they are part of our district, I guess I'm still not sure I understand how a protest will help them understand that. I understand that, you know, they might, knowing what they know or don't know,
mm-hmm.
they'll show up and be like, yeah, I want our teachers to be treated better. Everybody loves teachers. Everybody wants our teachers to be
yeah.
treated well. What does that mean to different people? What is different people's
mm-hmm.
understanding on that? What would that look like, if I ask 10 people in the hallway, you know, what is teacher evaluation? 10 of them will have different answers.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be like, oh, I don't know, but nobody likes it. Oh, I don't know, but, you know, my teacher was terrible and now she's gone.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. You know, so I guess I want to know how you think the protest is going to help people learn, like, the facts, not
okay.
just, you know, word of mouth or whatever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if you were perfectly informed about every last thing, you running around on a protest field trying to help people understand is not
mm-hmm.
effective. So... How is this going to make that effective?
I'm planning on handing out just like one paper, not like a bunch, but like papers kind of with excerpts from articles and different things, because on my petition page, I've done a lot of research, but some of the links I posted on the petition page that I thought weren't too long or like students would actually take the time to read. And so they talk about pay for performance, they talk about teacher pay in our district. I have some from our Douglas County Parents, which is by our SAC group. I think
Douglas County Parents is not affiliated with the district, you know that?
Yeah.
And they don't
associated with the SAC.
No, they're not associated with the SAC either.
I've been told they are.
They're not.
No, they're not.
The SAC is a statutory body that is an official part of the district, the school. Douglas County Parents is an activist group of people who don't like the district.
Okay.
So you should know that linking information to Douglas County Parents is generally not accurate. They will tell you that information is accurate, but that would be like, gosh, me.
Do you have any links to anything on the district website about SAC? Because there's quite a bit of information there.
There is.
Like I said, I wanted things that people would relate to. And a lot of them have excerpts from the district website, and they lead to the district website. Like, one page was, I don't know what it was called, but it talked about Douglas County, and it kind of, like, compared all the pay of different districts in Colorado, and then it, like, said, refer to the website or whatever. But, I would try to find unbiased articles, just because I want people to make up their mind for themselves. Like I said, like, I want it to be a choice. Like, I don't want people to be, like, forced to go to an assembly and sit down and listen to it, because I know kids, like, especially, they don't want to be forced to do anything, especially at this age. So I think having the opportunity to, like, make up your own mind kind of helps.
I'm not interested in forcing people to do anything.
Yeah.
But I would also tell you as straightforwardly as possible that Douglas County Parents is not an unbiased website.
Mm-hmm.
The district, you know, I guess there is an elephant in the room, I'll just say it. People think that the district's information is biased, which is amusing because the district is the author of the information.
Mm-hmm.
The district wrote SAC. The district controls pay for performance. The district publishes the market pay scale. That is the fact. You know, people can come to whatever conclusion they want to come to about it. They can say, oh, you know, I think everybody should be paid exactly the same.
Well, but I guess if your purpose is to inform people about SITE and perhaps the changes that you see might be beneficial to make it a better thing, it certainly seems to me that the very first link you should have in an effort to educate is a link to that document.
Yeah, I don't know.
The SITE document?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so if people can look at the actual and say, this is what my principal has in his or her hand when they walk around and look at what teachers are doing. This is about as original as it gets. It's not an article. It's not, I mean, if people want to see what's going on, anything that's written about it from an external website is going to have some kind of misunderstanding because those people are not administrators in our district.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have some kind of bias. I mean, there are people everywhere with opinions, you know. So I guess I would say if you want people that have information about what's happening in our district has that information.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, like you said, will look at it, read it, come to their own conclusion.
Yep.
It is not, if you are linking to external groups like Douglas County Parents, then there will be a certain perception about what your agenda is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I want to go back to that. Why do you think that there is a link between our School Accountability Committee and Douglas County Parents?
I was referred to some of the websites by, people in our SAC group. Or, well, like, I don't know, just one, but,
Your SAC chair, is that who you talked to?
I mean, like, a couple have reached out to me, but I think Laura Welch, I think it was...
She's the chair, so that would be...
Okay. Yeah. I think it was a Douglas County Parent website, but, I do, like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I can edit them whenever I want to, so I can take some of them off. I didn't know they weren't, like, directly, I thought it was directly associated.
And,
so,
and I appreciate that information.
Yeah,
yeah, the SACs are independent groups, and Douglas County Parents is not affiliated with anything that
okay.
I do the district, and vice versa. The district does not promote or affiliate itself with
mm-hmm.
Douglas County Parents.
Okay.
They're an independent advocacy group.
Okay. I'll probably take most of the articles off, except for, there was one with, like, a letter from a past teacher, and then there was a response from Dr. Fagan, which I thought was, like, really cool, so I'll probably
and that's
that
fine.
Mine.
You
yeah.
know, having that kind of back and forth
mm-hmm.
is perfectly appropriate. So if you know of where those links are to the actual site instrument, then, you know, I think it would be great if you posted that. I'm not telling you what to do. If you need that, we'll be happy to send that to you, and you can do whatever you want with it. I just think if you're looking to educate people about evaluations and about what all of that system looks like, then our district has the facts, and people that can then look at it and make up their minds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what you guys are learning how to do, and you, and in a lot of cases, you guys are great at it. You guys are in a great time of your lives academically. You know, you're getting to the point where you're doing all kinds of analysis, and you're doing all kinds of research on your own, and you're figuring things out. I think it's difficult when you're pointed to incorrect information, like in this case with the SAC, but, I mean, regardless of any of that, you have come up with some reasonable things about the site that you think could be changed. So I appreciate that. I guess the... Maybe I'm still missing the link between the protest and site, but okay, let's say the protest is coming, gone, it's over. Now what? What do you want to happen?
Well, like I said, I'm going to collect things, and then I'm interviewing Ms. Fagan that Thursday after, and I'm hoping to kind of enlighten her on like some of the things that people have been asking, because I know. A lot of people are saying, like, the protests came out of nowhere, but I feel like these problems have been piling up for a while, and they're just not getting the attention that you would expect, I guess.
You might be surprised. So. I think, and I'm not going to speak for Dr. Fagan again, she's sorry that she was out of town, but I think we believe this came out of nowhere because... you or your fellow students who may be working on this with you, in that regard, are you? You're basically the leader. You are who the idea started with.
Yeah, I'm in charge of all the websites except for our Facebook event page, which Bailey Conrad works on with me.
Okay, the reason that we think it came out of nowhere was because suddenly last Friday, like a week ago, there's this huge petition page that started, and you know, so I don't know about anyone else. The conversation I had with Judy was, did anyone talk to you about this? No one talked to me about this. And I mean, these are not new concerns. I mean, when you talk to Dr. Fagan about this, you will find that she knows some of this is out there. But I think this kind of thing, frankly, this kind of thing that you've outlined, that's more specific than a lot of people get. A lot of people are just like, oh, I hate the evaluation. Well, why? Because it's not fair. Well, why? And you, I mean, it's like a little kid. You ask more why. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you just reach an end game of, oh, I just don't like it.
Yeah.
And so this, I think...
there's some good specifics in there.
Yeah. And that's, frankly,
and then some of it, or like, you know... Director Silverthorne said some of it is stuff that's in process, because the whole idea of the student evaluation piece has been around for several years, and quite honestly, at one point I think they thought it was ready to go, and some teachers raised some grave concerns about it, and so it kind of went back to the drawing table to find a way to perhaps make that a part of it, because I think that all of us believe, yeah, our students are the ones that are sitting in the classroom every day, all day. At best, I pop in and out occasionally. Now, they may well be the ones who are the best judges, at least on certain aspects of a teacher's teaching, to give us the best feedback on that. So, I mean, I would agree with Director Silverthorne that, you know, that's something that I would like to see integrated in some way, shape, or form. I guess the question is, how do we do that in a manner that our teachers feel comfortable with?
Yeah. Do you know about our student advisory group?
Does it have an acronym?
SAG.
SAG?
I've heard of it. I don't know tons about it.
Okay, so it is an official committee of the board, and it's made up of students from every high school. So if you, this is the kind of thing they look at. Students look at and advise our administrators on how to integrate this kind of thing. They came the administrators came to SAG. I'm the board liaison to SAG. So they came to SAG last year and they said, hey, students, tell us what you think about how evaluations should be applied from a student perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a whole discussion about it for like an hour. And, you know, people, there are probably maybe 4, 6, 8 kids from each high school. And we all meet once a month, and the administrators come seek feedback from those students.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you may want to consider applying to if you are interested in this kind of thing. If this is the kind of thing that you want to opine about and make your voice heard, please apply. I don't know, and I can get you information on the application process, but now's
mm-hmm.
about the time to apply for next
mm-hmm.
year. So if that's something you'd like to do, it looks great in your college transcripts, you're welcome, I mean your college applications rather, you're welcome to come to a board meeting, and we have a spot up front with
mm-hmm.
us for a student from that group. So if this is something that you want to channel your energy into, if you have ideas like this, we'd love to hear them. And if you want to be part of that group, then that is like the direct pipeline to the administration
mm-hmm.
to talk about it. And which is not to say that you can't contact us at any time. I called you from my cell phone last night. You're welcome to call me at that number whenever
mm-hmm.
you want. And I know Director Reynolds makes herself available, and other administrators do too. So in the future, I might suggest to you, the reason people are saying this came out of nowhere is because you kind of did it in the opposite order of what most people think about doing it. Most people will say, they'll sit with their principal, and then they'll sit with district administrators, and then they'll sit with board members to say, here's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with what's happening in the school. Or I have some great ideas, let me share them with you. And then, you know, if we blow you off and say, sorry, we don't care about what you think, then you have protest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so with everything being turned on its head, that's why it felt to me like it came out of nowhere. Because I've heard some of these things, but at the same time, you know, to me it's like, hey, great, over the summer, our teachers are going to work on fixing some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we've gone through this and, you know, there are issues that weren't workable. Or, there are all these things that we've done. And it's not like that's not part of the churn. And so for someone like yourself, I mean, you see what's happening with your teachers, whatever that may look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that looks like because I'm not here with you in the school. And then to say, oh my gosh, I'm going to jump straight to protest. I mean, to me, that was like, I wish that we would have been able to have this kind of conversation first.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you said, gosh, Megan and Judy just blew me off. I don't like that. I'm going to go out and protest. Okay. At least we talked first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're reaching out to you ahead of time. And again, it's not to dissuade you from doing anything. It's more like, clearly you have a concern, and let's talk about what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of what other event is going to go on, I wanted to know from you
mm-hmm.
what that looked like. And so, you know, I think if you speak to Dr. Fagan about these things, I'm sure she'll have a great conversation with you. If you think students should need to know about the way any of this or all of this works, I really am having a hard time understanding how this is going to get us to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to force someone to do anything, but if someone wants to come talk to me in either one-on-one, in a small group, in a session, in an assembly, whatever the scale, if I could find a venue big enough, I'd have every kid in this district come talk to me. Then I think that's a better way to educate people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, take that for what you will. I'm not forcing anybody to do anything.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say something else. I think there should be a teacher coach. I don't know if we have one of those, do we?
We have professional development where teachers can go to classes and they
mm-hmm.
have mentors and they can learn different things. What do you think that's lacking in?
I think that teachers aren't fully, or it's not advertised enough that that is something they're available to. And if they do want to grow in their professional development, then I think they're not aware that they have all the opportunities to, so maybe that needs to be
Each building has a PLS, a teacher whose job is nothing but to teach teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that they don't know that that's available?
Have you had teachers tell you it's not available, or is it just something you're not aware of?
I've asked teachers if there's like a coach or whatever, and some of them aren't aware, but they just don't know like exactly how it works or something, and I think the teachers are scared to talk about the evaluation process, I guess, just because it's so closely aligned with the district that they'll feel like they're defying the district, and they feel like that could affect their job or like their job stability, and maybe like creating a anonymous or like a safer environment for teachers to really voice their opinions about how they feel about extra workload or the evaluation system or whatever it is. I think that needs to be addressed.
I know that one person saying one thing is not something that a lot of people will accept, but I say this until my face turns blue. No one is going to get fired for expressing concerns about the evaluation system. If they are threatening, that's different. If they are abusive, that's different. But if they say, you know, I just got some concerns with that, I don't like it. Here's some things I think could be done better. No one's going to get fired for that. No one. And so, you know, you can tell that to anybody. You can tell them I said that if you want. You know, they might not care. But, I mean, there has been this pervasive perception that there's this issue there. And no one has gotten fired for expressing concerns. In 6 years I've been here, not a single person has been fired for that. People have been fired for performance problems that are documented. Not expressing concerns about the way they're evaluated. So just so you know about that. I don't know... there is there has been an attempt in the past on the part of motivated people to make it seem like someone's going to get fired, to make it seem like there's some issue. I want you to know about that because people have an axe to grind and people have agendas.
Yeah.
So you should know that no one will be fired for that. If someone calls me up tomorrow, if one of your teachers calls me up tomorrow and says, I got brave and I called you, I want to know I have a problem. Okay, let's work it out.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we've all talked to teachers or principals. I mean, some of them are people that I know. I've had phone calls from teachers that I do not know who've wanted to either ask a question or discuss an issue or a concern. You know, there never has been anyone fired for asking those kinds of questions or raising a, you know, potential improvement. I mean, that's part of why this teacher group meets over the summer. It's not just like one group of teachers. There's multiple groups of teachers because sites differentiated amongst different teacher positions. For them to get together and to make suggestions. I mean, that's how that whole process happens. Is because people are willing to step in and talk about it and say, you know, we think this needs to happen to make this better. Or one of the things that maybe, you know, myself or my colleagues struggle with is this particular section or the language in this section isn't clear, and so it doesn't give us good guidance as to what we should be doing or, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that it's really important to understand that a lot of this is a very collaborative process, but just like in any organization, there are supervisors and there are bosses and there are people, and then in education, the additional layer to that is government, because there's laws that regulate at least some of it, not all of it, not down to the minute detail, but laws certainly are a very integral part of education, good or bad.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess if someone is saying that they're fearful of expressing their opinion about their jobs, I would just point you to Facebook. Dozens of teachers get on there and are blatantly honest, mm-hmm. and abusive, honestly. A lot of the times they are very abusive, but they've not lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I would prefer that no one personally attack anybody else, but, you know, that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
People are that way sometimes. But not one of those people has lost their job.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, if anybody says to you, oh, I'm worried about losing my job, I'd just point them to social media.